Hello and welcome to this episode of the Grow VC Everyone Funding Starts podcast. Today, I'm your host, Marcus, and as most of you know, I haven't been on the air for a while, so it's a pleasure to be back every once in a while. We've also done some recent edits to our podcast process, in order to make it as scalable as possible, and also in order for us to be able to deliver the best quality with the best guests in the program. So that's taken a little bit of a back-end work from our end, but that's something that you have to do every once in a while in a startup. So today we're talking about the Networks program, which many of you might be aware of and knowledgeable about, but currently we're running the Networks program with I think roughly 150 partners at the moment, and we're bringing on new and excited partners almost every day. So I'm here with Paul Higgins, who's actually based in London, and he's the person from our team who knows the most about the Networks program, who coordinates it and manages everything that's kind of related to the inner workings of that program. So Paul, welcome to the show for the first time.
Hi Marcus, thanks very much. It's great to be here.
So how about we start off with a little bit of a background to yourself? Since you're new to the podcast and obviously the Networks partners know you, but I think it's good to get a little bit more of a just a little bit more on your story from your side.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, I'm based in London, and I've been helping out with Grow VC since the beginning of the year, beginning of 2012. Now, my background is really in a mix of kind of technology and marketing roles. My degree originally was actually in technology, computer science, and philosophy. And then after that, I worked in a couple of technology roles at IBM and a couple of the major banks in London. And then I kind of switched over to the business side and worked at eBay and their marketing team for a little while. Then I found myself getting into the startup world. This was about 5 or 6 years ago now. I started working for an organization called Rapid Innovation Group, which consults and advises for tech startups around the world, helping them on scaling up from the kind of the early startup stage all the way through rounds of funding and through to some sort of exit. So my experience is in business development and sales and marketing and strategy and those kind of aspects of growth stage, expansion stage startup companies. Sort of in the last year or two, I've been quite active in writing and blogging about entrepreneurship and technology startups for a variety of business and technology publications. I've written for quite a few VCs and angels blogs around the world. You know, it's great to be involved in a project like Grow VC, which has which has such a potential, I think, to really improve all of that industry and that ecosystem.
And I think you fit particularly well into our global team because of your global background. I think it's something that we could also pick at a little bit, because I know, for example, that you speak multiple languages. So what's the background there?
Yeah, so I actually, after university, I went off to live in Portugal for a year. I have a family background in Portugal, and I wanted to go and really learn the language. So I went over there for initially a few months to go to a language school there and pick up some of the basics. And then I worked for a tech startup there for about 6 months, based in Porto in the north of Portugal. But in my kind of work as an advisor to startups, I've also been taken around the world. I've done quite a bit of work in Paris, working with French startups. I've spent some time in Scandinavia working with startups in Gothenburg and Copenhagen in particular. You know, a lot of my A lot of the companies that I've spent time with have really had a global target market themselves. So I've worked alongside companies that have been based in London or based in Paris, but whose markets have been genuinely global, selling to, you know, the major telcos or the major kind of oil and gas majors, for example. You know, for those companies in those sorts of markets, you know, you can't afford to just focus on one domestic market. You know, your market is global in nature. So as a result, I've been able to experience doing business in places like Brazil and places like China as well, which are, you know, more and more important to any kind of entrepreneur who wants to create a really valuable business.
And simple at that, right?
Mm.
So I think that's a great aspect in terms of our team at GrowVC, that most of us and many of us have been all around the world in terms of different roles, different cultures, and seeing kind of the inner workings of many different regions, which is of course invaluable in this space because, well, working with a global ecosystem, that's something that, well, it's not simple, put it that way. There are complexities to different cultures and so on. So let's look a little bit at the Networks program. I think before going further, we can elaborate maybe a little bit about what the Networks program actually is. And in a way, the Networks program is kind of a bridge to get organizations that have interest in the startup space connected on a platform like incubators, accelerators, universities, and various other different types of groups like even funds, traditional finance sector, and whatnot. So let me actually throw that at you, Paul. In all simplicity, what do you think the Networks program is about, and who is it the most suitable for based on your experience with these partners?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the big idea behind the Networks program was we wanted GrowVC to become the genuine vision of a virtual Silicon Valley. This concept is something that I was really attracted to when I first came across GrowVC, is that if you are lucky enough to be able to go to Silicon Valley, you have access to potential co-founders, to investors at every stage, you know, seed stage, angel stage, VC stage, and above VC. You have access to experts and to lawyers who are used to working in the startup area, and you have access to, you know, the best expertise, the best kind of support networks that there are in that region. And what we're trying to do with the Networks program on GrowVC is to allow entrepreneurs and allow startups to get the same access and the same the same connections that that those companies in Silicon Valley would have, but where possible, wherever you are in the world. So the Networks program is really designed to find partners who are adding value or providing services of some sort to the startup ecosystem. Typically, it is organizations like the ones you mentioned, incubators, accelerators, angel networks, universities. These are a crucial part of the support network that startups need and that entrepreneurs need as they go from the very early kind of idea creation stage and product market fit stage through the, you know, scaling up and through, you know, really becoming a proper business. So in essence, the network program is about creating a community within our global community, communities that can be organized and run by these partner organizations, these incubators or universities or entrepreneurship groups that can provide certain value or provide services to their own members and to the wider community of GrowVC globally.
And I think what we also find with many of these partners that we work with, I mean, there's about roughly 150 of them at the moment, mm-hmm. and these include various different groups. Like, for example, we work with Startup Weekend to get continuity into their kind of these these events when people actually want to take their initiatives forward that can bring continuity and structure the relationships. At the same time, we work with the Techstars Network because many of their accelerators can really benefit from utilizing our tools in order to actually structure their operations. We work with the World Bank in Africa with their incubator. So there's lots of these different cases. The point is that the tools that we built, they can have a lot of different utility for different partners. In some cases, it's the very basic things that, for example, by structuring these things online and making them more efficient, they can be a lot more valuable in the operations. But I think there are nuances with different partners in terms of their operations, their specific needs, and these sorts of things. In the networks program, you, Paul, you work directly with these partners. You work with various different types of organizations, various different regions, and so on. What have you learned in the last couple of months in working with these partners?
I think some of the kind of interesting use cases that we've seen are groups or organizations that want to really get together and create sort of sets of communities or you know, in our kind of parlance, networks that come together and that are linked in some way. I think there's of a couple of cases we have, university networks that are running an incubation scheme to promote entrepreneurship and to back entrepreneurship from the student community, and they have their own kind of individual reasons for running a network on our as part of Grow VC, for example. It helps them to communicate to their members, to their students, and it helps get the students together to work on ideas and to collaborate better. But I'm starting to see kind of small regions popping up within the networks community. So those kind of universities can be associated on our platform with local mentoring groups or local kind of coaching groups, and local groups of investors. So startups can or entrepreneurs can go through, within this example, the university network, and then kind of graduate from that network and then join the local coaching mentoring scheme. There are other networks running events in that area. So, in London's case, for example, there's a lot of excitement about what we call the Silicon Roundabout at the moment, which is an area of East London which has seen a lot of investment in technology and a lot of entrepreneurship starting up there. There are VCs that focus on London and that particular area, and there are coaching organizations and mentoring organizations and angel groups that are focused within a particular region. And for me, it's quite exciting to see how that has evolved out of what we've been trying to do. It's really starting to create a number of communities that are sort of serving themselves, but also serving the wider community. Not just part of Grow VC, but they're really creating something interesting. I think they really are thinking about how to provide the best value to the entrepreneurs in their area. And for me, that's very exciting.
I also think that since we work with lots of the different partners, lots of different types of partners, lots of different regions, one specific set of partners that I found surprisingly receptive to what we're doing is the universities. I don't know what it is, but for kind of my assumption earlier on was that universities would be, these large organizations that want to do lots of things, but they're maybe a little bit too theoretical or too slow to actually act on these things. Mm. But it seems that universities, maybe it's the trend that universities actually typically have some sort of incubator, some sort of incubator program, student incubators or entrepreneurship clubs or something like this. But it seems that many of the universities that approach us, they really want to get the network. They really want to understand the network, but moreover, they really want to get it to use. And I think that's been an interesting trend to see in terms of these partners. What do you think in terms of the wider range of partners? What has the reception been from their side in terms of the program?
Mm. I think probably the partner types that have been kind of most excited about what we're doing, if you think across the different areas we might have, you've got the universities, you've got kind of VCs, angel networks, financial institutions, you've got events organizers, and then the kind of incubators, accelerators. I think those incubators and accelerators are really starting to see a lot of value in creating networks through Grow VC. I think, particularly you think about the Techstars networks, for example. They have a pretty good profile in the ecosystem, and they of course have a global network of associated networks around the world running a similar program, and because they have such a good reputation and they have a high profile in the ecosystem, they get hundreds and hundreds of applications from some very good startups, some very strong entrepreneurial teams. We've developed some tools that have helped those organizations simply manage their application process. Rather than being forced to push down important decisions about who should they take on and who should they recommend elsewhere, down to kind of the lower parts of the organization, they've been able to use our tools like our scorecard functionality, for example, which allows experts to quickly summarize and review business plans or applications from startups, and manage the interactions and the communication they have with the entrepreneurs. Those kind of tools are really playing a big role, I think, in helping organizations manage the amount of deal flow that they have at the moment. And that's good for the incubator. It's also good for the entrepreneur as well, because they can see clearly what's expected from them. They can see, what state does the business have to be in. Am I allowed to apply if I don't have revenue yet? Am I allowed to apply if I'm a single founder with no co-founders? Part of the things that we're or part of the tools that we're developing is will allow entrepreneurs to take feedback from investors or those incubator organizations, and formalize that and turn it into project plans that they can then execute again, and then go back to the investors or the incubators and say, this is how far we've come since the last time you spoke to us. And that's kind of symptomatic, I think, of a lot of the trends we see from entrepreneurs for really building relationships with investors and building relationships with the people in the ecosystem from a very early stage. So you're not going out to get investment straight away. You're approaching them to have a conversation, to give them an update on the progress of your startup, and by doing that and managing that through Grow VC, you can start to see, real progress. You can start to see how entrepreneurs have responded to feedback and how entrepreneurs have been able to take that and really use it to improve their startup. And I know that's again something that's it has evolved, I think, and we're obviously trying to create the right tools and the right experiences to help that happen.
I think that particular use kind of goes into building that, that path that the startup goes down. That's incredibly important in terms of when you actually approach somebody that you want to convince, be it an investor, be it a co-founder, be it an advisor or whatever, or customers, of course. But at the same time, I think it's a point that comes up every once in a while that this timeline, this track record that you have online in Grow VC, but also across all the other forums, I think it's very important to kind of think of that and be conscious of how you build that step by step. Because at the end of the day, once you're actually at that point that somebody evaluates your progress, then they're going to go down that timeline. And based on that, they can see lots of different progress, lots of different pivots, and different kind of aha moments along the way, as they should. But that's something that's always good for startups to keep in mind, to be conscious of the path that they go down that's visible online. Another thing that I was thinking about is I think it goes very, it just goes back to basics with the network's partners and these organizations, that the tools that we have in more cases, or in most cases, they're tools that just make their life tangibly easier in terms of what they're doing. So it's really not about, you know, even though the tools aren't the most, it's not rocket science, but they have some degree of complexity to them, but it's still about the very, very basics, that if they can get tangible value out of the tools, if they can get tangible and efficient tools to manage their deal flow, for example, or manage the application process, or these small things, and especially for some of the partners like universities and incubators, they most of their kind of these things, they exist offline, but they exist in a form that's very informal, that's really unstructured. So getting the very basics in place, those can help a lot in the very short term as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
I was just thinking about kind of like in terms of longer term perspective, because we definitely have a lot going on with the networks program, 150 partners. We're doing some interesting things with lots of different partners. Obviously, for example, networks like the World Bank Incubator Network, I'm not exactly sure how many we're talking about, but it's somewhere in the 300 or 400 incubators that they actually fund. So obviously we still have a long way to go in terms of developing these. And obviously we're still in the early phases of just making sure that we get the tools right, we get all the processes right and these sorts of things. But I think we've also come a long way in terms of that. So in terms of the program right now, what do you think are our kind of short-term areas of focus at this point? And then we can talk a little bit about maybe what you're most excited about going forward with these partners.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think the area that I'm really focused on at the moment is helping those early partners really kind of make the most of those early days as they get set up. I think a lot of organizations are coming to us and saying, you know, this is something we really want to do. This would be a valuable thing for us to build. And then when the kind of early excitement dies down a little bit, it's about, you know, really helping them in terms of kind of co-promotion and co-marketing, and helping them get the word out to their members and to their communities. I think there's a lot that Grow VC can provide in terms of ideas and in terms of kind of actual execution of marketing strategies and things that can help our partners get up and running, because ultimately, you know, the value of this community is going to come from its members. You know, it's going to come from the fact that the best angel networks or the best university incubator schemes are part of it and are using it well. That's a big focus for me at the moment. I think helping partners really, you know, get a lot of value in the early days out of it, so they can start to see people coming on board and starting to interact with them on the platform, as much as possible.
How are the things that you look forward to the most in terms of working with these partners further, but also with the countless of partners that we have coming on board all the time?
Mm. I'm really looking forward to seeing how things evolve once we've gone through a couple of iterations of these these schemes. So in going back to the incubators, for example, you know, they all run one or maybe a couple of programs per year. So they'll have a whole process from applications through to selection through to running the program itself and then presenting to investors or spinning out companies and letting them go for themselves, and I think, you know, as we develop this networks program and see how it can provide value to the incubators and to the startups all the way through that process. And we go through a couple of those programs. I think we will really develop some quite exciting things that will help that work really well for both parties. We're also looking at other kinds of organizations that are providing services or providing value in some way to the startup ecosystem. So I think that ultimately we're trying to allow as many different types of partners as we can to be part of the community. And I think people running events for startups and people running mentoring schemes and running small funds and things like that are really part of a crucial part of the startup world. I'm really excited to see how they start to come on and connect to the partners that are already there and create these little regions, these little kind of sub communities within our platform.
All right. I think that's more or less what we intended to go through in this podcast. One final point. There are lots of potential networks partners currently listening to this podcast and that will kind of hear this discussion. So what message would you have for these partners that are maybe thinking about how the networks program could be relevant to them that are probably part of the startups being seen in some way, but are just kind of a little bit out of the discussion at this point in terms of the networks program?
Yeah, I think I'd encourage them to get in touch with us. We're in a beta period with our networks program, so we're trying to learn as much as we can about how our partners would like to see it progress in the future and what we should be developing and what we should be helping to create with them. We're always looking out for companies that fit the kind of descriptions that we've been talking about, but also other organizations that aren't following this exactly the same kind of thing, but still feel like they're part of the startup ecosystem in some way. There are organizations that provide consulting or media services or development services, for example, and those are important resources and an important part of the startups world as well. If you fit that kind of description, it'd be great to hear from you and see what you could get from it and hopefully we'll all we'll bring these types of organizations in and really create this idea of the virtual Silicon Valley globally, because I think that's an incredibly valuable concept and something we're really dedicated to making happen.
All right, and reach Paul at paul@growvc.com, and that's an easy way to start the dialogue with him directly. One other point that I want to mention, we definitely work with lots of the organizations that already exist in this space, but if you're looking to start one or start your network, even if you're starting from scratch, this can be an easy tool for you to start building your own community. Whether it's first offline or first virtually, then either way, those can complement one another quite nicely. So I just want to highlight that it's not only for those that are already in this space, already exist in this space. It can also be a very valuable tool in order to actually enter this actual arena of startups and the startup space in general. So, all right, I think this is it for now. So thank you everyone for listening, and we'll be back again shortly with another episode.